Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that proves there's more than one way to make history. I'm Gabe Lousier, and today we're looking back at an early TV milestone, the day when American children were first sold on the idea of playing with a potato. The day was April 30th, 1952. The Mr. Potato Head Funny Face Kit became the first toy to be advertised on television. Designed by Brooklyn inventor George Lerner in 1949, the original Mr. Potato Head wasn't the hollow plastic spud we're familiar with today. Instead, it was an actual potato. Or, more specifically, it was a box of plastic facial features and body parts, which could be used to decorate a potato. Another difference from the modern potato head is that the original's hands and feet weren't meant to be attached directly to the potato. Instead, the kit included a small plastic body onto which a potato could be skewered to form the character's oversized head. More versatile than the name suggested, the toy allowed kids to anthropomorphize the fruit or vegetable of their choice. The sharpened points on the backs of the accessories could be jabbed into any piece of produce, a feature that was demonstrated on the box art, with an apple, an orange, a beet, and a green pepper. That said, a potato was still considered the ideal canvas, likely because it balanced well on the base, spoiled less quickly, and didn't spray juice when pierced. The toy felt tailor-made for kids who liked to play with their food, but Lerner still had a tough time getting a toy company to back the idea. The concern was that parents of the era had just lived through World War II, and with the days of food rationing still fresh in their minds, they might disapprove of a toy that encouraged food waste. In the end, Lerner did find a buyer willing to take a gamble on his offbeat prototype, the Hassenfeld Brothers Toy Company of Rhode Island, which later shortened its name to Hasbro. Lerner sold them the rights to Mr. Potato Head for $7,000 and a 5% royalty for every kit sold. The launch date was scheduled for May 1, 1952, and the original set, which included 28 pieces, was priced at just 98 cents. Before the toy hit shelves, though, there was still the question of how to market it, and more importantly, to whom. The first American toy ads had appeared in print in the 1800s, and their target audience wasn't children, but parents, mothers in particular. The rationale was that they were the ones who controlled the family's money and made the purchasing decisions, so it was them who needed the most convincing. That approach to toy marketing, known as the gatekeeper model, continued well into the 20th century, even after radio became the leading form of advertising. The tradition finally began to wane after the Second World War, when children suddenly found themselves flush with pocket money. For the first time in history, it seemed worthwhile to advertise toys directly to kids. But it was the advent of television that really kicked the practice into high gear. In the early 1950s, TV commercials were rapidly becoming the medium of choice for advertisers. But even with easy access to a national audience, toy companies were reluctant to jump on board due to the added production costs. It just didn't seem worth the money to create a 60-second TV ad for something as self-explanatory as a doll or a bicycle. However, that line of thinking didn't apply to an outlier like Mr. Potato Head. The concept required explanation, so in this case, Hasbro decided a TV commercial was worth the investment. The historic ad premiered on April 30th, 1952, one day before Mr. Potato Head's nationwide launch. Its content was pretty much what you'd expect: young kids excitedly playing with the toy while a narrator explains how it works and where to buy it. Unfortunately, Mr. Potato Head's debut commercial has not been preserved online. But to give you an idea of what it was like, here's an ad from a year or so later, after the release of Mrs. Potato Head.
What's new, Hasbro? Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head with their own cars and trailers. That's what's new. See, Mr. Potato Head has a car and boat trailer. And there's a car and shopping trailer for his wife, Mrs. Potato Head. It's such fun to do and so easy. Like this. Take any fruit or vegetable. Just stick in eyes, then ears, and then the mouth. You can make the funniest looking people in the whole world. Potato Head people look different every time you make them. Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head...
As you might expect, being the first toy advertised on television turned out to be good for sales. Hasbro sold more than 1 million Mr. Potato Heads by the end of the first year, and the introduction of the character's wife in 1953 pushed sales even higher. Despite how revolutionary the marketing campaign was, though, the idea of toy commercials aimed at children didn't catch on right away. Hasbro's bold move did prompt a few other toy companies to start producing their own, but the practice didn't become the norm until 1955, when the Mickey Mouse Club hit the airwaves with a built-in audience of young fans to sell to. From then on, kids have taken a more active role in deciding how to populate their playrooms. Some make purchases themselves with their saved-up allowance, and others employ their so-called pester power to convince grown-ups to buy on their behalf. Of course, whether companies should be advertising to kids in the first place is a whole other discussion. As for the spud that started it all, his early success was threatened in the 1960s when new government regulations prohibited the sale of toys with sharp pieces. In response, Hasbro designed a new plastic potato to act as both the body and the head. It featured pre-made holes for the facial pieces to plug into, and all of the components were made 2 times larger so they would no longer pose a choking hazard. These changes ultimately worked out for everyone, as the new and improved Potato Head was deemed safe enough for preschool children, thus broadening the toy's market. It also meant that parents no longer had to worry about forgotten fruits and vegetables left to rot under the sofa. Or at least, not as much. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Casby Bias for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.